Welcome to Take the Red Pill,
where we explore the realities within our reality.
We are your hosts, David Deere
and Donald Dalton. This episode, David and I are exploring the multiverse. And David, give the listeners a little bit of a definition of exactly what we're talking about to start off when we're talking about a multiverse.
Well, it's an interesting idea about a multiverse. My understanding, well, I guess, let me say rather than my understanding, but the definition that I've come across of the multiverse is that the idea that well, we got the universe, obviously, one verse. Interestingly, the verse means word anyway, but one word. But then again, you know, you could trace that back to the Old Testament, but
word.
That's not what we're talking about. Word. But the multiverse is supposed to be, would be considered anything in addition to the universe that we know and love. And I guess the question is, if you're talking about a universe versus a multiverse, what is within the scope of a universe?
For me, the way I look at it is, you know, the universe is everything that we can see and perceive with our five senses and everything. That is our universe. That is our reality, as it were. A multiverse is basically other universes that are around that we may or may not be able to access at some point or in some way, shape, or form, possibly with our extrasensory senses, such as, you know, intuition. I think one of the things that, one of the ideas of a multiverse that has always really intrigued me is the idea of parallel lives. And how parallel lives can be in a different universe from what we have, from, you know, like the different choices we make. If we made a different choice, then that could shoot off into a different universe that we would have different experiences with, and we'd meet different people. And to me, that's kind of my concept of the multiverse, is with every choice we make, we have all these different parallel universes or multiverses that are created at any given choice.
It sounds to me like what you just described was an alternate timeline.
Wouldn't a multiverse include alternate timelines as well?
Would we
even exist in a multiverse? Would there be a Donald and a David in a different universe, or a whole bunch of different universes, or are you and I specific to this specific universe that we know and love and exist in at the moment?
Well, we've established that an alternate timeline can be inclusive when it comes to talking about aspects of our different universes, multiverse, in the multiverse. One of the many verses, I guess, would include alternate timelines.
Mm-hmm.
And another verse might include not even an alternate timeline, but just an alternate, like where rocks were animate, for example.
Oh.
Or different paths of evolution, or dinosaurs still exist, or even unicorns.
You're talking about a difference of physics, of how physics acts from what we know of right now.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, is that how do we differentiate between A, alternate timelines, B, or alternate universes that have different laws of physics and different laws of reality and perception? Because you mentioned that at the top of the show. You said that anything within our universe is what we can perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third part is how do we differentiate between a different universe versus a different vibration or frequency, or even a different dimension?
To me, that lends the question of, would an alternate universe or different universes in the multiverse that we're talking about, wouldn't they vibrate at a certain, at a different phase, at a different vibration than what we vibrate at?
Yeah, I think so, maybe. I mean, when we talk about vibration, are we attributing vibration to just the essence of existence, the essence of light, the essence of being, the essence of physics? Interesting how we use the term vibrations, because vibration can be a sound, and vibration, light waves are vibrations. It's just basically a movement of energy at a certain rate. And then you have vibrations when we talk about our own, like when we talk about raising our personal vibrations.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's another thing that we're talking about. You know, that whole ascension process, for example.
Gotcha.
Where that's a vibration raising. So is vibration something specific to this universe?
I think if there is anything in existence, it has a vibration. Whether we're able to perceive it or have the in any way, shape, or form is what is called into question. And I know that the following, you know, typical science, that if we are unable to perceive it, then we can't really give it credibility that it exists until we're able to see it.
Or perceive it, right?
Exactly. And if you ever heard of the what the Earth vibrates at, like the Schumann resonance or something like that, and I think it's like 7.43 hertz.
Right.
If we're looking at a multiverse where there are, you know, duplicates of like the Earth and, you know, individuals or whatever, then maybe in an alternate verse or universe, the Earth vibrates at a different harmonic, you know, at a different frequency other than 7.43, like maybe 8 point whatever or 4 point something something. I think that would have very strong implications of how that universe worked or how life on that world or that Earth would operate, you know, based on physics and everything. And it would look very, very different from our perception if we were all of a sudden, you know, plucked out from this universe and plucked into that one with on an Earth that has that different vibration.
Now, would we be able to be sustainable in that vibration, though?
Oh, see, I don't know.
And that's the thing I think that we forget because of the hubris, the human hubris, as we tend to go. And everything we anthropomorphize, that the universe revolves around the human being.
Oh, yeah.
It always seems. And so what we figure is that we're not interdependent of the Earth. The Earth is just that rock we, human, happens to be on. And so if we're plucked off of this Earth and then put on a different Earth, we may not think that maybe we're just like cells in a body. If you strip skin cells off of a human being, the skin cells just become dust.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what all dust is around the house. It's just sloughed off skin cells. And then there's no, I know.
I know.
Don't think about it too much. Because you will never dust again, or you might dust obsessively.
Exactly.
Who knows? That's the thing is that what if we just became, what if we removed from the Earth's vibration and put in a different Earth's vibration? What would if we had no more function? What if our function and our existence was so integrated into the Earth itself that to be removed from it in any capacity would be to really sever our beingness.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but I heard a concept years ago where your emotional body is tied to the planet of your birth. And so since everyone on Earth has spent majority of their life, a few exceptions as for astronauts, when you get out further away from the Earth, then your emotional body starts breaking down a little bit and it starts changing a little bit. I don't know if that's where you're going with it or, that's what I thought of when you're talking. It's just like, okay, so if we are so integrated and tied into this Earth and this, you know, this frequency, this vibration, and, you know, that includes the ability of our brains and our nervous system to, you know, swap messages and send signals and whatever. If we are in a different vibration, then or even an alternate universe or an alternate Earth, if it's vibrating at that level, that vibration could interfere with, you know, what our vibration is, which allows our body to work. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, exactly. It's a much more metaphysical concept, but I imagine it would be not unlike stepping on a different planet that had a different atmospheric makeup.
Mm.
How long would you thrive in that atmosphere if you took off your protective gear or your helmet? But on really a more out there kind of scale, if you were on a different Earth with a different vibration, if it vibrated at the different Schumann scale, well, maybe not the Schumann, but the Herbert scale or something. I guess it'd be different, right?
Frank Oz scale.
The Frank Oz scale, right. It's kind of the Muppet scale. If you vibrated at that, at what point would you start to break down because you didn't resonate with it? I believe that if you could go to an alternate vibrating Earth, for example, you can only do that through, you know, under the tourism bubble, like traveling under the sea but you have to be encased in this air bubble when you're traveling under the ocean. I think it'd be something similar to that.
Have you ever seen an episode of the show The Fringe?
I started watching it. It didn't grab me. It felt very X-Files to me, but I know it has a huge following. Yeah,
I am a dedicated follower.
Yeah.
I tried watching it the first season and I was like, okay, yeah, I watched half of it and like, whatever. And then someone said, you know what? Fringe is actually doing some really cool stuff in second season. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll give it a second shot. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness. But one of the concepts they have in there is, you know, an alternate universe where, you know, an alternate Earth, as it were. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to spoil it much more than that because there's, you know, it's a really good show. Let's just put it that way. But it's very difficult to find a way to travel in between the universes as you would expect it to be. But at the same time, they have people that can do that. Most of them don't survive. And
you mean in the show or in general?
In the show.
Oh, okay.
And some of them do, and I'm trying to not give it too much spoilers if someone actually decides to go watch the show. And basically, I look at it from that kind of a perspective where, depending on your biology and how closely related the vibration of the two worlds are, then I think some people would be able to not be as strongly affected by switching into a different vibration if it was so close. Like I think and I could be totally wrong on this, but I think that with the Schumann resonance being like 7.43 or 7.8 something, if that's our universe, it's like 7.43, and there's a universe like right next to us, it's like 7.47, that's still pretty close, so that I believe a number of people have a biological makeup that would allow them to exist in that universe without disintegrating after a short amount of time.
Well, if you're operating at a different vibration, even if it was just ever so slight, then how long could you reside in that universe at that vibration? Would there be a point where you would start to incorporate the vibration and become integrated into that other Earth? I mean, let's use this for example. Let's talk about alternate timelines.
Okay.
How do we know that alternate timelines isn't just a shift in vibration or a shift in focus? Using the language that might be considered New Age, but it's kind of modern language, is the idea of the ascension.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that we're increasing our vibration, as the term is used.
Mm-hmm.
What if you make a choice, and the choice actually contributes to the highest good, and then you make another choice that does not necessarily contribute to the highest good? What if the choice that you make that shifts to the highest good actually is of one vibration, and the one that's not of the highest good is a different vibration? Let's play with the Schumann scale. Let's say that there's a 7.8, like you said. But let's put it like a 1,000th place on it, 7.8882, right?
Okay.
You make a choice, and maybe your vibration raises a little bit from making a more higher spiritual choice, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's for the betterment of all of us, let's say, for the highest good.
Like a Gandhi or Mother Teresa something like that?
I don't want to be that excessive. I'm saying that you don't have to be a Gandhi or Mother Teresa. That doesn't mean, you could do the tiniest thing. It could be for the highest good.
Buy somebody a coffee?
Buy somebody a coffee. Let's use that. Yeah, okay. Why not? Say somebody really, say somebody had an impending headache coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know it. You just said, I'm going to buy this person a coffee. And that coffee that you purchased maybe is something they really needed. Maybe the act of kindness is something that they needed to really feel like they had a good day. So all of a sudden, your vibration shifts, that person's vibration shifts to the 7.8884.
Okay.
Right? There's another part of you that could have ignored that and stayed in line with the 7.8883. So the part of you that ignored that made that choice, you're still perceiving a 7.8883 world.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of you that made the choice to buy them the coffee is perceiving a 7.8884 world. And maybe there's some play in and out because, you know, it's so infinitesimal.
Yeah.
But say you keep making these choices and the choices you make seem to reverberate out and really affect people in more and more positive ways where they're making more positive choices, then all of a sudden the entire environment starts to raise to maybe a 7.8886.
Sounds like what you're talking about is kind of a pay it forward type thing.
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, it is a pay it forward kind of thing. See, here's the thing about paying it forward. I think pay it forward, we always forget is reciprocal, and it comes back on ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think pay it forward, we almost like release it into the air, and then it goes out to everybody else, and we never see it again.
Hmm.
Where I think of it as more of, you're improving somebody else's world, but it also improves your world as well.
See, I always thought you do an act of kindness or something for somebody, it's basically just out of the goodness of your heart without expecting or even realizing or knowing that it would come back in one way or another to you. But I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think what you're probably talking about is if you make somebody else feel better in one way or another, then it's very difficult for them to act in a more negative way, which means wherever they went, they would have that little that thought, that energy in their brain, in their body, in their aura and whatnot of, you know, hey, somebody did an act of kindness for me, you know, just out of the goodness of their heart. The people that they come around, they would get some of that. They wouldn't necessarily get the full force of it, but they would feel a little bit of that positivity, just a, you know, a little bit here and there. And I think, is that what you're talking about, where it's more of, it makes a better world for everyone, where an act of kindness to one person ripples out to everyone?
Well, yeah, I do think it's a ripple out to everyone, but but more so what I'm saying is it's like if we're talking about vibrations here, if we make a choice, then certain choices will put us in certain vibrations. In other words, well, I'm going to consider a vibration like an alternate timeline.
Okay.
Alternate timelines, there's little ones that you can kind of weave in and out of. You can make choices whether you wear green shoes or blue shoes one day. And yeah, you're on a different timeline, but it's so slight that you can weave in and out of it. Your day may turn out pretty much the same despite what color shoes you wore,
mm-hmm.
right? Or maybe not. What I'm saying is that if we look at vibrations, let me kind of take a pause on this because
okay.
I don't want to, I think I could over-explain it to a degree, but what I think when we're talking about the multiverse,
mm-hmm.
I think there are so many aspects and expressions of one world or one timeline or one universe or one vibration or one dimension, but I do think they're all interrelated.
Okay. And how are they interrelated?
Because I believe that something that affects this universe would affect every universe.
Oh my goodness. So if that is true, then doing an act of kindness could reverberate through multi-universes, and doing an act of aggression or negativity to somebody, you know, from what you're saying, could reverberate and through multi-universes.
Sure, I think so. I think because our human perception is so limited that when we consider the universe, it's exactly like what you said at the top of the show, which is that it's anything that we, human hubris, is aware of or can perceive. And like you said, science basically goes, well, I can't perceive it, so I'm not going to give it a label. I'm not going to put anything on it, you know. There's no theorem or a formula that you could back this with, which interestingly, Einstein didn't live that way, and yet scientists are crossing their arms and clucking their tongues. But as far as physics goes, and as far as dimensions go, and all these other things, let's take this as an example. There's an idea that there is a universe that is comprised purely of emotions.
Okay.
But we are so trapped in the physical that we can't perceive a universe purely of emotions. And let me give an example. You know the idea that you're upset about something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do is you yell at somebody else, and that person feels kind of crappy now, but you feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
So it's like emotions, I think we forget that they're actually pretty tangible. it's not something that's just this kind of airy fairy, you know, well, it's feelings and stuff, and we're men, so we'll stuff them down, and we're women, so we'll, you know, throw them around like confetti. It's not that kind of thing. Emotions are very tangible. They're so real. They're more real than physical stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think we associate everything to physical. Physical seems to be the trump card of the universe. And then, yeah, we have gravity, but gravity's still tied to the physical stuff and strong magnetic and all that other physics stuff. That when emotions come into play, we're like, yeah, let's not talk about it. It has no realm of its own. It's just a byproduct of us being alive. Or if you're religious, it's a byproduct of original sin or whatever you want to call it. So emotions may be a universe of their own.
Hmm. That would be like the 7.8883 going to, you know, maybe emotions are on 7.887.
Right. Maybe they're not even the 7 grade. Maybe they're in the 9 grade or the 4 grade or something.
Yeah. From what it sounds like, from what you're talking about, is for any one person, place, or planet, you could look at that person, place, or planet as kind of like a radio station or a radio with a dial, not a digital dial, but an actual manual dial, where within a certain range, you can hear the signal and everything, pick up the signal, and FM station, I think, goes from 9700 to 107 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we've done with that is broken it down into, let's say, 93.7, 93.8, 93.9, and we can break it those main signals down into smaller signals. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about with the difference in Schumann scale or the Frank Gehry scale, depending on which one you want to go with. If you look at it from a radio analogy, then moving from a 93.4 to a 93.6 is very, very slight difference. That might be like what you said, wearing different colored socks in one universe and as opposed to another one. But moving from a 93.4 to like 104.4, much bigger change in frequency and experience, where that might actually be accepting a job in one place as opposed to not accepting a job, which would, you know, change your whole life, especially if you had to relocate geographically. Mm-hmm. That's still going just on the possibility of alternate timelines and parallel lives. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty large step for a lot of people to, like you said, go from, take the hubris out of our thinking and go, okay, so if we had an alternate universe or, you know, many alternate universes, what can our imagination conceive of them possibly being, of how they interact, of how they work, of, you know, would they be more similar to our universe, or would they be so different from what we have that we can't even conceive it?
I think it could be both. I think it could be all of the above.
Depending on whether you pick door number one, door number two, or door number three.
Yeah, exactly. And going back to an analogy that we made in an earlier podcast, remind me of it if I don't remember. It's like the deaf person and the blind person.
Mm-hmm.
You could have two different aspects of the same thing that one will perceive and the other won't, and then switch it around. Let's take an A440 as that note, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you do is you double the vibration, you get back to A again, but it's a higher pitch. You double it again, you get back to A again, it's a faster frequency. Eventually, you're going to get a tone of A that we're not going to hear. Well, that's all irrelevant to the deaf person. When you double it and double it and double the frequency, and it gets fast enough until that frequency starts to become so fast that it changes from sound to light,
mm-hmm.
then the deaf person can perceive it, but the blind person can't.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But what it is, it's just a tone that's been vibrating and vibrating, and the tone eventually can turn to a wavelength, a light. You see what I'm saying? You're almost looking at a cross-section of the different layers of it. We're talking about a wavelength, but the wavelength is changed to such degree that it's perceivable here, but not here.
So do you think that alternate universes and alternate realities and alternate timelines exist? And if so, if your answer be yes, do you think it is possible that we'd ever be able to perceive them on, you know, in general?
Sure, why not?
And how do you think we'd do that?
Well, here's the thing about it, though. The perception is all based on what we're able to understand. It's okay. Like when we talked about in our last podcast with dreams,
mm-hmm.
how you have those really weird disjointed dreams, and at the time you're dreaming, you're kind of going with the flow, and you wake up, and you lose a lot of it not long after you wake up because the elements of it don't make any sense.
Yeah.
For example, I've had a dream the other night, and when I wake up, sometimes I like to kind of revisit the dream,
mm-hmm.
and I try to remember what order things happened. And there's elements of the dreams that I swear happened. This event in the dream happened before, but it also happened after.
Huh.
I couldn't make heads or tails when it happened. And if I went through the evidence, I'm like, well, okay, well, then this happened before this. I know because it was a sequence of events in the dream. But I'm like, wait a minute. But logically, based on the events in the dream, it happened after. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In waking life, how can you possibly perceive something that happened before an event or and after the event simultaneously? In the dream, it made sense. It did. It happened before and after that particular event in the dream. But when waking, you're like, that doesn't make any sense, and you stop perceiving it. So if you were to shift into these multiverses, these other alternate universes,
mm-hmm.
it just depends on the degree of difference from the universe we're in now, whether we perceive it. An alternate timeline, we can perceive that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, if I didn't make this choice, this is what would have happened, you know, or if I do make this choice, this is what may happen in the future. That's perceiving alternate timelines. But, you know, what if the dinosaurs were still alive? What if unicorns were running Congress? it might be a little tough to perceive when we'd be go, oh, yeah, the guy's either going nuts or he's got a great imagination and forget it. Then rocks becoming music, forget it.
Rocks becoming what?
Music. And I don't mean rock music, so. There's your Frank Oz universe right there.
Frank Oz's universe.
There's Frank Oz vibration. Yeah. Fozzie Bear.
So, do you not consider alternate timelines as alternate realities and therefore an alternate universe? I mean, isn't a universe a different way of experiencing than what we experience here, and therefore alternate timelines would be different choices, which means we'd have different experiences? And I mean, for me, experience is paramount, is very core to our level of perception and being able to perceive.
Well, yeah, I mean, I say it's a different universe. Because, you know, if you're made different choices, you're having a different experience, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, why not? But then again, if we're talking about our recognition of life in between lives in a non-existence form, like in the spirit realm, isn't that a different universe or is it?
I would definitely say that would be a different universe that we can conceive of. And if we can conceive it, then we can perceive it. Therefore, it has reality in one way, shape, or form.
Now, here's one for you. Is there an Uberverse?
You mean an all-encompassing huge universe or whatever?
Yeah, one universe that encompasses all the multiverses.
Kind of like a bubble with little itty-bitty bubbles inside it. Is that kind of like what you're talking about? And each bubble is a universe?
Right.
Okay. Actually, I had never really considered that. Is there an Uber universe? I think that's difficult to answer because I can see it going so many ways. Like, that's us. That's kind of like us being, you know, a kidney in somebody and saying, do you think there is this overall body as opposed to, you know, a kidney and maybe a universe over here where it looks more like a stomach, or a universe over here that looks more like a liver or something like that? And so part of me says, well, sure, why not? Let's go with that. But then there's another part of me that's just like, maybe we're just like a whole bunch of free radical atoms just floating around here going this way and that way. Sometimes one atom or universe, you know, bumps up against another universe, and for a fleeting moment, we're able to perceive an alternate reality of what we have experienced thus far, and it's more just very chaotic. So it's very difficult for me to ask.
All of the above.
See, that's what I'm saying. I can't answer the question specifically in a yes or no way, because I can actually see all these possibilities happening. Now, I got something for you. If we're going to work with different universes, have you ever played one of these simulation games? Like, one of the big ones is The Sims or something like that, where would almost be considered a virtual character, an avatar for you or whatever, or just, you know, you created some kind of entity.
Sure.
You're basically playing God with their lives. Going with just the game The Sims, there have been, you know, cheesy movies and everything like, okay, this is how we can really torture them and this is how we can not torture them. So let's move that out from a different perspective of what if we are The Sims in a universe where we are, you know, just ones and zeros in somebody's big computer.
Sure. I'm with that, too. I know I'm not making it easy for you because I just keep agreeing with everything.
Exactly.
But the reason I do this, and I have to defend what I'm doing. I have to say, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I have this belief. I don't know where this came from, and I don't know where it one day, actually, let me straighten this out.
Okay.
It was more during a podcast, and I don't remember which one, but I think I said it in the podcast. I had this revelation during one of our podcasts that everything is just an analogy of everything else. It might have been the
non-creation.
Yeah, non-linear creation theory episode. That everything is analogous to everything else. Everything is a symbol of everything else, and everything represents something else. And with that being said, every universe is an analogy of another universe. And yes, everybody, I am actually clean and sober right now. I am very lucid. So,
well, that brings up the question, the whole philosophical question that, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because if everything's an analogy for something else, then what was the point of inception? What was the first one?
Oh, human. Human. Born, live, die. So, of course, we think everything has a beginning and an end. So,
you just love playing the God aspect at the moment, aren't you?
Well, we all do. We're all playing the God aspect constantly. I mean, everything is the God aspect. And remember when you said, here's interesting, I'm going to go with the Sim thing. Remember when you said you like to play God with the little Sim characters?
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing is you're making a choice for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're making them make that choice.
Oh.
So if there is some higher power playing God with us, then if we're making choices or if they're making us make our choices, what is the difference?
Exactly, because we're doing the same thing regardless, whether we think we're making the choices or if we're not.
Right.
But it's creating a certain reality. It's creating a certain perception of the possible, the tangible, of the universe that we inhabit. If you took like a Sim from The Sims and put it in, I don't know, some other, like, let's say Pac-Man, mm-hmm. the game Pac-Man, then the Sim would be like, oh, what the heck is happening here?
I know what you're saying, yeah.
It wouldn't know what to do or how to do it, and it'd be like, it's too simplistic from what they're used to, or take Pac-Man and move Pac-Man into, you know, a Sim's house or whatever, and it'd be too complex. Like, how do I get upstairs? How do I use the bathroom? You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If every possibility is a possibility, what are the implications for the choices that we are either making by ourselves or that other people are making for us that we believe we're making for ourselves? I mean, does that even come into play when we're talking about the multiverse?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. Let's use what we talked about with a cup of coffee.
Okay.
You bought a cup of coffee for someone that was having a bad day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you walk around in your merry way and you're like, I bought somebody a cup of coffee, yay. Well, if you made that decision, and if every possible decision happens at a moment, and every possible decision you didn't make goes off into its own little universe,
mm-hmm.
then what's to say that us making the decision to buy the cup of coffee affected the universe by creating, it created the universe where we didn't buy a cup of coffee.
Okay.
And the part of us, the version of us that didn't buy the cup of coffee created this universe where we did buy the cup of coffee. The only difference is where we've put our perspective, where we've shifted our focus. It's all a focusing tree.
Now you're getting into quantum mechanics and stuff of that nature.
Yes, exactly. You have to take that into account, Donald.
Where basically they say all possibilities are there, and it's just the possibility of the observer that is considered real. Where, you know, it's kind of like, let's say we have thousands and thousands of realities, you know, plastered over or happening at the same time in the same place, in the same physical space. And let's say we're on a soccer field and we're playing a game of soccer. Since our eyes are open and we're only perceiving, you know, one soccer ball for that one game, then that is our reality. Whereas if we close our eyes, there could be a soccer ball could be at any point in that field, depending on how the game is going for what team and who's kicking what, you know, in the other multi-universes, where you shift your perspective from this universe, this game, and if you were able to shift it over into like one of these others, by the moment you open your eyes, there could be a huge soccer ball going right for your head.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah.
Reality is only a matter of the observer being able to observe, and that goes back to what you were saying with a blind man not being able to see light, but sound makes a huge impression. For me personally, I see all those as a possibility, but what relevance can we even put a relevance on it for our lives?
I think the relevance becomes the reality.
Oh, explain that a little bit more. How does the relevance become the reality?
Like the choice you make. It's the fact that you made a choice makes it your reality. In other words, if you didn't make the choice, it is irrelevant to the degree that you didn't make it. In other words, you create the reality by making a choice, and when you make a choice, you give a timeline relevance. So let's say this. Let's say, kind of like in the same idea of quantum physics and what they talked about and what the bleep do we know, when you have the double slit experiment, you've got two electrons going through two slits simultaneously, both existing as probabilities. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. When you come to a crossroads and you're ready to make a decision, you're sitting in front of two probabilities, and those probabilities both are equally valid, mm-hmm, as probabilities. But when you make a choice, you actualize the one probability and the other one just remains only a probability. So one becomes a reality, the other one is a path not taken. But before that point, they were both actually in existence waiting for you to realize them or not. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that makes perfect sense. But I think I'm looking at, you know, can we actually put some relevance onto, you know, our individual lives for any choice that we make in any reality that we're able to perceive?
What do you mean by relevance then?
Is there a meaning that we can assign to that? Or is it just, you know, our whole lives are just a myriad of choices that are made or not made that lead us to one place or another? Do we find some meaning in that, or do we just look at it very pragmatically as, like, if you're watching a program on the screen where it's running through different ones and zeros, and, you know, the screen's just going ones and zeros, you know, filling up and just scrolling down faster and faster and faster with every little bit, literally bit, computer byte that is going through the program, you know, is all our choices just like one of those bytes that is just like, oh, okay, now this byte is here and there it is and now it's gone? Like, okay, so did it just happen, or do we assign some kind of meaning or relevance? Or, you know, it's like, oh, that was an important byte because we had this important experience, like we graduated from college, or we graduated from high school, or we got married, or we had our first child, or we had our second child, or, you know, every one of those little experiences being a byte. Do we place relevance on those, or as them happening, or them not happening, not placing any kind of significance? I like the word, that's the word I'm looking for, the significance of any one of these events or choices that can lead to from one universe to another universe.
I say yes. The reality of the universe is based on the significance that we give it. We have a choice of what significance we give these events, but really, I think the kernel of them is the significance. And I think the universe we create is based on the significance we give it.
Oh.
Without the significance, what is it? I wrote a blog entry on the feeling, on emotions,
mm-hmm,
being the impetus of all events in this world. if you look at a scientist and he's studying this and that, you know, the scientist, I'm studying how physics affects this, isn't there an emotion behind him wanting to even study it in the first place?
There'd probably be an emotion if we use an example like, I want to make, chickens grow fur instead of feathers. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, that's just like, why? Hey, let's clone a sheep or have a mouse grow a third ear or something like that. Like, right. Okay, why? Because it's never been done before, and let's see if we can actually do it.
Right. And there's an emotional impetus behind that's never been done before. It is that curiosity. It is that excitement in discovering that you can do it. It's what actually moves you toward the choices you make and the decisions you make. There is no decision as a human being that we make that does not have something emotional behind it.
Mm-hmm.
How much emotion is just, it's just a matter of the degree of the emotion and the degree of the relevance, or what was the word you used?
Significance.
The significance, exactly.
Okay, so now this brings up a whole nother curiosity for me with this whole topic that I had just a moment ago and before I started talking, and then all of a sudden it went poof. There it was. There it's gone. Let me see if I can get it back in a moment or two. Do you think it would be possible that we could possibly make multiple choices, both choosing to do something and not doing something, and being able to see the outcomes of both of those choices and experience those, therefore giving it significance in a wider array of multiple universes?
You're saying, can you experience multiple choices, the outcome of multiple choices at once?
Yeah, okay. So let's say we're going back with the whole, you buy somebody a cup of coffee. You said that by buying somebody that cup of coffee, you instantly created this other possibility of you not buying them a cup of coffee.
Right.
Do you think it would be possible to ever have the experience in one way or another, probably not physically, but who knows, of buying the cup of coffee and not buying the cup of coffee simultaneously?
What do you think?
I don't think it could happen physically, but at the same time, I believe it could happen in our mind. I think it's possible to foresee the different temporary outcomes of buying the cup of coffee and not buying the cup of coffee, and how that would, you know, make us feel, and what kind of experience that would give us, and what kind of experience we could guesstimate of the person we bought the coffee for or that we did not buy the coffee for. But I don't think we can actually physically experience doing those two things at exactly the same time with the brains that we have at the moment.
I would agree with that.
So, or yeah. Actually, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say with the brains that we have at the moment. I'm going to say with our level of perception that we allow ourselves to have at the moment.
Yeah, and that's kind of a do-over. Wouldn't it be just a do-over?
No. No.
If we could, I mean, seriously, if you could experience both at the same time, that would imply that you would either, well, with our current perception, we'd have to go back in time to do so.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about time travel or anything like that. I'm talking about literally experiencing every choice that you can make as you're making that choice and going through the actions of the result of that choice.
What's to say that to a degree we don't?
Enlighten me, oh great one.
What's to say that the buying the cup of coffee, you know, I look over there and I see this guy and he looks like he's having a bad day and he's just down on his luck. And I look and I say, that guy looks like he could use a cup of coffee. So in a matter of time that is so fast that we can't perceive, we actually play out the scenario of what would it be like to, and we do this. There is a part of us that perceives and there's a part of it that don't. And slowing it all down, I could buy this cup of coffee. Well, that's $1. What is it? $9?
Depending on the cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly. At $3. It's $3 that, you know, I could better use for something else. And if I do that, then I have to give it to him. And what's he going to do? What's he going to react? How is he going to react to that? And I can be late to work, or I could be late for catching the bus and I may actually miss that bus. Or I could buy him the cup of coffee and it, You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah. What would be the value to you on all levels of making this choice or not doing this choice? It's like, do I have the money to buy this person a cup of coffee? Do I not? You know, I think what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is in that one moment where you have the idea of, oh, hey, that person looks like they could use a cup of coffee. Should I buy them a cup of coffee? Without even consciously being aware of it, you go through a whole list of, first, do I have money to buy them a cup of coffee? How long is the line? How long do I estimate that it would take me to get through the line to get the cup of coffee? What kind of coffee do they like? What kind of coffee do they not like? Will I have enough time to get to my car or get to work? Will I be there on time? If I'm late to work, will it be okay? Or what would I gain from the emotional feeling of doing a charitable act for somebody? You know, right. What value do I put on that? And as opposed to being maybe a minute or two late for work, you know, and if I understand what you're saying, you go through this whole list of possibly all these things instantly, subconsciously, and then, you know, you come to a decision and then you either buy the cup of coffee or you don't.
And some would say that it's just you basing suppositions on possible past potentials based on your experience of human interactions and all this other stuff. I would be so bold as to say that part of you actually plays out a slight experience of each of those possibilities. You do experience it not on a true level. And when you make the decision, what you do is you say, this particular option and this particular timeline, I want to experience it full in. I want to jump in and fully experience it rather than just graze the experience through going through the permutations of what could happen.
And I think another quick example that goes along the line of, we're talking about buying a cup of coffee for a stranger that we've never met or talked to, correct?
Right.
Now, the implications of buying that cup of coffee or not buying that cup of coffee at that level probably would not have a life-changing event, or it could.
Right.
What if this was, you know who, Fred McMulderberry,
mm-hmm.
and regardless of him being out of work, or at this point, maybe he found a job and he remembers a few months ago when he felt like his perception of how this guy feels, and he just wants to, buy him a cup of coffee just to make him feel good. Taking all that aside and taking it to a whole nother level, what if you never asked anybody out? What if you saw that person across the way or whatever? You never introduced yourself, and I'm not talking about just guys going up to girls or girls going up to guys or girls going up to girls or guys going up to guys. I'm not, gender specific. I'm talking about every individual, I believe, at one point in time has seen somebody and just like, oh man, I would totally like to meet that person there now. The implications of possible different timelines is, what if you just made the choice to go over and actually introduce yourself, and that led to, over the next four decades, getting married, having children, having this certain set of friends, and having this whole other experiences that allowed you to have that happen, or by just looking at them going, ah, yeah, they're cute, or I have a little bit of a crush on them, but, I'm not going to go over and do anything because I'm not feeling very confident right now, and I just don't want to get in. I just got out of a relationship for whatever reason. That would have a whole nother set of outcomes over the next 40 years. What if you experienced, both of those choices at the same time, and then what, connecting it to what you said, where you actually experienced at one level all of those timelines simultaneously and decided, okay, do I want to go up to this person and introduce myself, and what do I see happening from there or from here or from there or from whatever? To me, that's at the point where the universes start to collide. And we get to a point where at any one intersection, any one choice, any one decision can or cannot, depending on how you look at it, have enormous influence and significance on the rest of our life or the lives of those that we come in contact with or that we don't come in contact with from having not made a decision.
I don't understand the question.
Yeah, I think I was just basically trying to summarize what you had talked about and what I was talking about and, you know, the significance of buying somebody a cup of coffee or having that person that you introduce yourself to. If you buy a stranger a cup of coffee, you know, hey, there you go. Have fun. You know, pay it forward if you want. It's just something I felt. You look like you need a cup of coffee. I bought you one. You go on, you never see each other for the rest of your life. You know, I think I was just trying to mainly make a contrast between different types of realities and timelines that we can have and the different significance that in different situations they can have, like buying somebody a cup of coffee, moving on, maybe never see them again, not a big overall life-changing significant thing for you.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Meeting somebody and going up and introducing yourself that you know you see across the way and you know you find attractive or whatever, and possibly having a relationship that lasts for the rest of your both of your lifetimes, pretty significant.
Well, okay, now here's the thing: you are talking about significance here, and what we consider significant, I really think it's the moment. Each moment carries its own significance. So what you're doing is you're measuring the significance on the impact it has over your life over the course of an entire lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Buying somebody a cup of coffee, maybe that doesn't have any impact on your life 40 years down the road. I personally think it does, but you just can't perceive it. Where the significance of seeing somebody across a crowded room and deciding to strike up a conversation with them, you're married, have kids to this person. Maybe you didn't. You end up unmarried, not having kids to this person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that really, if we look at it on such a grand scale, we're really robbing the moment of having all its power. I think we're really taking away personal power in that moment. I think the significance is there and rich and ripe and ready for the picking when you're there at the crossroads to make the choice. I think otherwise it's all irrelevant. It really isn't. I mean, there's choices I could think of in the past, roads I didn't take, but to me, it's not really relevant. I mean, none of it's relevant right here at this moment. The only thing that's relevant right now here at this moment is what you and I are actually saying in this conversation.
And not only in this conversation, but at the moment that we're talking.
Exactly. At the moment, this very moment as we say this. Now that moment's gone and it's no longer relevant. I mean, that people would argue that to the end of the earth, but like you said, you can't experience two experiences simultaneously. And as a result of that, it's futile to try to do so by constantly dwelling on a event that did not take place. Mm-hmm. I say let the event occur in whatever reality it does and let it be in whatever reality it does. To me, it's all in the creative moment.
Ah,
it's an act of creating. Choosing is creating.
Mm-hmm.
We are building and creating each universe that we're in by choices. The choices we make is actually the spider weaving the web of the universe. And as far as the multiverse goes, we create the multiverses by what it's like a piece of music includes what creates a song.
Mm-hmm.
Are the missing notes as well as the notes that were played.
Yes.
So it's the missing notes. The missing notes to me are what the multiverses, the other universes are. They are those missing notes. But yet those missing notes are part of the creation of this universe.
And to others in the multi-universe, we are the missing notes.
Exactly. But you know what? It has no relevance to us because we're not in those universes. Because we chose not to create those universes. I think they exist in possibility and they're there for the picking, but they're not what we chose to create. And I think that's what creativity is the realizing, which comes from the word real, mm-hmm. actualizing, which comes from actual, is the whole creative process of the universe is us creating the universe.
Say that one more time.
The whole process of making choices is the process of us creating the universe.
Gotcha. And so that is the creation of not only our universe, but all the universes and everything. So each choice, we are creating a multitude of universes.
Right. We create universes of the choices we didn't make. But we choose also not to belong to those universes. But they go on without us.
I see. Well, I think this is a topic we'll probably have to come back to.
Ooh, man, yeah.
Because
this topic will make you either sleep hard tonight or give you really weird dreams.
Or really confuse you. And, you know, if we actually have people that we haven't turned their brain into Swiss cheese by yet, then, like, those are the power listeners. Those are the power fans. They're like, I don't care what they're saying. I'm just going to listen. And when it's done, then I'm going to try and make sense of it.
That's right.
Cool. For Take the Red Pill, I am Donald Dalton, wishing you whatever universe you wish to experience.
All right. And I am David Deere. Keep on creating this universe.